The Hoop Heads Podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello, Hoop Heads. This is Alan Stein Jr. My new book, Raise Your Game, High Performance Secrets from the Best of the Best, will be available from all major book retailers on January 8th. Raise Your Game takes a rare peek behind the curtain and shows you what the top coaches and players in the game do during the unseen hours. I share their routines, rituals, and habits, as well as proven strategies that you can implement with your team immediately. If you want to maximize your coaching impact and influence, order your copy today at raiseyourgamebook.com. And in the spirit of the holidays, if you're interested in purchasing multiple copies for your coaching staff, team, or program, I am offering several bonuses, like a 40% discount, signed copies, and a private video call with your team. But you'll have to place your order before Christmas. Once again, go to raiseyourgamebook.com for everything you need.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads Podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel,
aka the Coffer.
Jason has a little bit of a coughing issue, so we apologize for that in advance. Tonight we're going to do a little NBA shoot around here and talk some Cavaliers, some Western Conference, some Markelle Fultz, and I'll let Jason walk us through topic by topic.
So I think the first thing we want to talk about is the Cavs. And
what are they doing, Jason?
Well, this is what I wrote down.
Why are they
the Cavs and their unwillingness to lose?
Why are we winning?
Listen.
Why are we winning games?
I can't
fault the players for competing and playing hard. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. And that's, you know, you want to develop that type of culture. But, my God, you got to lose games.
So my text messages with you last night included me saying, don't look now. The Cavs are 4 games out of the playoffs. I was off a little bit. They're 5 games out of the playoffs. But
when was it that you sent me the retweet of, I forget which writer it was. Maybe it was Jason Lloyd or somebody that said that we only have like 4 guys under contract in the summer of 2020, and they listed everybody. And then I replied within all capital letters. I don't even know if you saw it. I just replied, and Zion.
And Zion.
Whoever the writer was, retweeted my reply.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome. No, I did not see that. And that I saw the Ann Zion, but I did not see that you got retweeted by the writer.
I got retweeted.
I'll have to look and see who retweeted it. But listen, I will say that it's not looking good for the Cavs to have high draft lottery odds because they're winning too many games. And I know, listen, they're not gonna be a playoff team. Okay. I think we can put that to bed at this point. But and if not, I'll go on free. You can retweet this and put it on Freezing Cold Takes on Twitter. But I don't think they're a playoff team. But I have to say, this is the peskiness that I did expect the last few weeks. They've been pesky because even like some of the games that they lost, they were in the games pretty much the whole way. They haven't gotten blown out. I'll say they haven't gotten blown out recently.
Well,
so
if you revisit kind of what we talked about at the before the season, I think that at least from my perspective, my vision was that if Sexton was good, which I think arguably you could say he's been as good as you could have expected, and if Love was
healthy,
close to Minnesota Kevin Love, and was healthy, that they could have a successful season. And obviously the Love piece of it hasn't worked out, but Sexton's been good, and I think the rest of the team, again, there's some guys on
your friend of the podcast, Jordan Clarkson, had 28 points last night.
He did 28. Look, Jordan Clarkson can score. I mean, again, I'll use my famous quote here. He loves to shoot, but he is a talented offensive player. There's no doubt about that. The guy can score buckets, and there's enough here for them to be a competitive team if Love comes back and is healthy. And yet at the same time, if they never won another game the rest of the season, I would be very, very happy.
And then kind of going off of that, just like the roster now, we welcome back the man, the myth, the legend, Matthew.
Well, but here's the thing with Delly. He fits into, if you go back to our preseason prediction of they're going to finish 40 and 42 or 42 and 40 or whatever we both kind of thought, Delly certainly fits the mold of the type of guy that you would want on a team like that. He's scrappy, plays hard, he's going to compete every single night. And, if you're trying to win games, I mean, he's a guy that is going to help you to do that simply because he's just going to give his full effort all the time.
Yeah, and I will say I was pretty happy when he came back. I was really upset when he didn't come back after the 2016 or whatever. Yeah, 2016 was the last season. But I was really sad. I know he's not like an all-star player. And
I was not sad.
Oh, you're not a big fan of Dele?
Well, I don't like 6'2", 6'3", white guys who can't shoot.
But he can't. Did you see him filling it up last night?
Yeah, but he's not. He's just not. To me, you got to be a really, really great shooter to be the type of player that he is to truly be effective. And again, I know he had his moments. I know he was a hard-nosed guy. I know he competes and does those kinds of things. But there were so many times when he was here that I felt like, God, if he would just knock down an open shot, we'd really have something.
He did that last night, man.
Well, good. I'm glad. Well, actually, I'm not.
and then obviously with that we say goodbye to George Hill. You have to see, I've been seeing reports that JR is the guy they're trying to get rid of right now. I mean, I think they've been trying to get rid of him for a while, and I hear Houston is in the market for JR Smith.
Which, I did hear that.
And I would be all for it. But I mean, I don't know what we get back, but they're Houston's in a spiral. I mean, they're in trouble. They're 3-7 over the last 10. Last time I checked, they were beating the Lakers, but I think Houston needs to make a move, and obviously the Carmelo thing didn't work out. I think it would be funny if you replaced. I saw someone's tweet was, "What would be great is if you replace Carmelo Anthony with J.R. Smith." That would be that's classic.
If you're the Houston Rockets and you acquire J.R. Smith, J.R. Smith, even at his best, is going to be a player that's not going to have a tremendous amount of impact on turning their season around. I'm not saying that he couldn't be an effective player for the Houston Rockets, because he probably could be, but if you're depending upon J.R. Smith to turn your team from a sub-500 team back into a 65-win Western Conference finalist, I don't think that's the player that J.R. Smith is.
And I mean, the other thing I have to think about is Houston likes to score a lot, and that's a lot of points for him to keep track of the score. So I don't know if that would be necessarily his strong suit.
Well, you know, if he had alphabet soup, they have numbers on there, right? He could kind of look at the, you know, he could look in the soup.
Alphabet soup?
Yeah, alphabet soup, right? Couldn't he, like, you know, you got to move around the numbers and letters, and you could
just
keep score
that way.
Just
make sure Damon Jones isn't around. And then the other thing you kind of touched on, I want to talk about, is Sexton. And I have to say, I was in the beginning of the season, I thought, he's going to be good. I liked what I saw in summer league. And then, oh man, the first few weeks was rough, but I have to say, I'm impressed. I think, you know, he's not going to win rookie of the year, but he's getting a little bit of buzz right now just because of the stats he's putting up. I think Doncic is the clear favorite right now, because he's made a big world of difference for the Dallas so far this season. But I really think that Sexton is going to be in the, you know, top three by the end of the season if the numbers continue. He's averaging over the last like 10 games. I think he's up to now, you know, the other day I said 17 points a game with you. I was texting, but I think over the last 10, he's averaging like 19.5, which is crazy.
He can score. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that if you look at what he's going to be able to do in the course of his career, he's going to be able to score. He's obviously got to get better from three-point land. Well,
and that's the one thing that's actually been a surprise. I think last night I read that he's shooting 47% from behind the three-pointer over the last 15 games.
Right, but he's still much more at this point. He's much more of a mid-range yep. and attacking yep. the basket scorer, which, again, for a young guard, a kid who's 19 years old, is not that surprising. He's going to have to develop his three-point shot the way the league is today if he's going to truly rise to the level of being an all-star caliber guard year in and year out. But the makings of him being a talented scorer are certainly there. I get a little concerned when he's only averaging like 2.5, 3 assists a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And obviously you'd like to see him be more of a distributor at some point.
Well,
but
listen, it's hard to distribute when you have Jordan Clarkson on the
floor. It is, I agree. You can't have, you know, when Clarkson has the ball, you're not getting it back. So you don't want to inbound it to him if you can avoid that. So, you know, if you pass it into him, if you take it out of bounds and give it to him, you might as well just stay back on defense.
All right, so I think we've exhausted our discussion of the Cavs. We'll see what happens. You know, Kevin Love's return is on the horizon, so we'll see. We'll see. It has been nice seeing him on the bench and being there. And I'm sticking by my fact that I think he will be on the team come May. I don't think they trade him. I'm going to stay with that right now. They're not going to trade him. Maybe it's an off-season move, but I think he's on our team May. Have you adjusted your prediction, or do you think he's?
I still think there. I think that everything and everything is on sale. And if they can get a deal that they like, I think they'll send him out. But who knows? Who knows? Like I said, everything that I've read about the Cavs is that they are gearing themselves towards that summer of 2020. And again, I don't know that it makes any difference that you're going to be able to sign free agents to come here, even if you have a ton of cap space. But I think that's the window of time where they look at, that's when they're trying to build towards whether they're going to start their, you know, start the process of trying to get back to championship contention at that point, or how they're going to structure it. But summer of 2020 is where
I think the four guys that are signed through then are
Chetty is one,
Chetty, Sexton, because he'll have 1 year, 1 year left, Love, and yes. Who's the other one? I just had Larry Nance.
Yes,
Junior. That's it. Correct. Those are the four. So, I mean, you say, I mean, Chetty's looked solid, and he's had his ups and downs and whatnot. But
he hasn't been as good this year as I thought he would be.
No, he started off a lot stronger than he's looked. But I think the other problem that he has is with the Sexton and Clarkson kind of dynamic. They're kind of hoarding the ball a little bit, and Thompson's been really strong too. So I think that has kind of limited his ability to create, because they just aren't running plays for him specifically. And I mean, the last night he had one shot in the first half. Like, yeah. That's odd to me.
It still seems like he disappears at times, and he hasn't been as good. I really thought that he was a guy who could blossom into somebody who could average 15, 5, and 5. And
there he has moments. He does have moments.
He does have moments, which leads you to believe that he could have more moments, but it doesn't seem like he's going to get to that level, at least not this year.
All right. So moving on. So last night, the Raptors and the Warriors played. I don't know. Did you watch any of the game, or did you?
I did not watch any
of
it.
Okay, so I watched almost a whole game. I think I turned it off with 5 minutes left and said, if the Raptors lose this game, I'm going to be very upset, but I'm going to bed, because it was like 12:35 or something. But so the Raptors ended up winning by 20, minus Kawhi, who I think was out for the second straight game with a hip situation. So they probably were just playing cautious with, you know, his injury history and stuff. But, you know, I have to say, the Raptors are looking scary, and I don't know. I mean, I think someone wrote I think it was Robert Mays from The Ringer, wrote a piece about how Danny Green is like the most underrated pickup they made. Like, everyone's talking about the Kawhi trade and Kawhi, but no one's talking about the fact that they also got Danny Green in that part of the deal. And I mean, I just think that the Danny Green part of it is playing a big thing, and that team is just really, really playing well. And, you know, Nick Nurse has got them going.
They're deep, and I think that's one of the things that they had going for them last year as a regular season team, and I think the same thing this year. Obviously, Kawhi gives them a dimension that they didn't have before, and Pascal Siakam is playing much, much better than
last year. And Ibaka's playing well, too.
Ibaka's been playing really well. I can't remember the stat that I heard, but he was shooting some ridiculous percentage from open threes or corner threes. I can't remember exactly what the stat was. But he was just really shooting the ball, you know, very, very well. My thing with Toronto, it still comes down to, I watched them fall apart in the playoffs too many times against the Cavs, and to really believe that group of guys can get over the hump and really be the favorite in the East, I just don't. Even with Kawhi, I still think they're a team that's built more for the regular season as opposed to the grind of the playoffs. So I would still tend to, if I was looking for my Eastern Conference champions, I would look in a different direction. I would not look north.
So who would you say? Because I don't think the Celtics have looked good at all. I mean,
I think the Celtics probably, of the four teams, I would say the Celtics probably have the highest ceiling, because their defense is really good. It's been good from the beginning of the year, although I think it's tailed off a little bit here in the last little bit of time, although they've won, what is it, 4 or 6 in a row, something like that. But I think they have the highest ceiling if they put it all together. For some reason, I like Milwaukee. I actually like Milwaukee. And if you were going to give me, of the four teams, if you said pick two of the four that you can have as the favorites, I would pick Philly and Milwaukee over Toronto and Boston.
Yeah, I still like Philly. I like Philly a lot. I have to say, I didn't think that I was going to pivot to Toronto, and this is, I want to say, this is completely contingent on Kawhi remaining healthy and playing at the level that he's playing, because there's no doubt in my mind he's the comeback player of the year if he continues to play this way. He's going to be in the MVP discussion. I don't think he'll win it, but he'll be in the discussion because, you know, I think they're playing at a whole new level, and defensively at least, and I think they can continue to do so. But we'll revisit that. One other thing in the East before we turn to the West. There's a report going out there that the Pistons are interested in exploring trade options for Markel Fultz. Now, I don't necessarily know. I don't know all the Pistons pieces and what they could do with it. And if we had Trevor Huffman on tonight, he probably would have a good answer. But do you have any theory as to what they could do to get Markel Fultz? And do you think the Pistons should try to do it?
I mean, I think any team, if I was a team out there, I would try to get Markel Fultz. Again, there's no guarantee that he's ever going to be able to come back and be anything close to what he was prior to being drafted. But the talent is still there if he can get his mind right, and if there really truly is something physically wrong with his shoulder, if he can get that corrected, then you're still looking at a player that had the type of talent to be drafted number one overall in the NBA. And history tells us that if you're drafted number one in the NBA, your odds of being a really good player are pretty high. Now, there are obviously exceptions to that, Anthony Bennett, but they're, you know,
just
in general, if you're the number one overall draft pick, you have a pretty good odds of having a great career. So I think Fultz, if I was a team, I would be exploring options. Because again, I don't know what Philly can even get for him at this point. I would think the price is pretty low. I don't know everything about Detroit's cap situation and who they have available, but they have some young pieces that, you know, Philly might want, who again maybe haven't lived up to their draft billing. I'm thinking Stanley Johnson, who I think he was drafted number 8 out of Arizona a couple years ago and has never really developed the way they hoped. And they picked Luke Kennard a year or two ago out of Duke, again, who's an Ohio kid, and he's been, I think, functional but not great. And so, you know, those are the kinds of things that, you know, Philly, if Philly could get back something like that, that could potentially be a guy that could contribute in their top 8 in the playoffs, then that might be the kind of trade that they might be willing to explore. Because at this point, I think Fultz, he's got to get out of Philly. I think there's too much baggage there. He's never going to be able to kind of dig his way out of there. And yet, at the same time, if I'm Philly, I'm scared to death that I trade the kid and he figures it out.
Well, yeah, I agree. I don't think that, I mean, Philly is known for booing Santa Claus, so I don't necessarily think that.
although everything that you've read is that the organization and the fans and people, like I never really read anything or saw anything that the fans had turned on him.
I think they
were booing him. I think there's a, I mean, it sounds weird to say, but I think there's a little bit of pity almost for him, that, because again, it's the oddest situation.
Yeah.
That I can ever remember. I mean, I just don't. It's unprecedented.
Well,
there's,
and I think
like, that's happened.
I think
this
the interesting thing is, you know, after this latest incident, I don't necessarily know. I think when he comes back, they might turn on him. Like if he comes back, quote unquote. I just think with the latest,
I'll tell you who they're turn on. His agent. That guy should just keep his mouth closed.
He doesn't know how to shut his mouth.
Because I mean, just they keep saying things that just make Fultz look worse and worse and worse. And you know, again, you forget that as an NBA player, your representative, your agent, your people have a lot to do with what the media spin is in terms of your situation. And this was a case where it seems like if they had handled it better, both the Sixers and Fultz and his group had handled it better, that it might not have spun in the same way. And because they kept denying, and saying, oh, there's nothing wrong, when clearly anybody who watched him play knew there was something wrong, regardless of whether it was mental, physical, whatever, anybody could see that there was something wrong. And I think when they kept denying it, it just made it worse.
All right, so we've said our piece on Fultz. So let's move to the West, and we'll make this relatively...
What can the Cavs give up to get Fultz?
What can they, or what should they give up? I think.
What would you give up?
I would probably give up. Well, let's see. Who's kind of out of the rotate? I mean, J.R. Smith.
I might give up anybody on the team except for Sexton. You could take anybody you want.
I wouldn't give up Larry Nance Jr. Just because I like him.
Yeah, I like him too. And you might not give up Kevin Love simply because you could probably get more value for Love from somebody else. But again, in theory, you're trading whoever we're talking about. You're just telling me right now that you wouldn't trade Larry Nance Jr. for the number one pick in the NBA draft. And I know he's not the number one pick in the NBA draft in his current state, but that guy's in there probably somewhere.
I think my main thing is it's an unknown quantity. I think JR would be a good move. Sorry for the coughing. I think JR would be. They're not going to do that.
Hey, I know we need to get a new sponsor.
Who's that?
Luden's cough drops.
Okay. What about Halls, man?
Can we do a read for Luden's or Halls?
I'll consider it.
Well, hey, I mean, Fultz fits the timeline for Zion.
Oh yeah,
you know, they're kind of the same age.
They shut him down for the rest of the year. They trade for him, shut him down for the rest of the year, and then
bring him back with Zion.
Bring him back with Zion. Zion, I like Fultz, Sexton,
the new big three.
Jordan Clarkson.
No, the new big three, not a big all right. four.
All right, so let's go to the West. The Rockets have just finished winning against the Lakers, 126-111. LeBron put up good numbers, but the West is just crazy. So coming into tonight's action, there were 14 out of the 15 teams in the West within 5.5 games of the first seed. And the first seed right now is
Denver Nuggets.
The Denver Nuggets. The Warriors are two. Okay. So it's just it's kind of a mess. Let me pull it up. So we've got Denver, Golden State, Oklahoma City 3. The Clippers 4, and this was coming into tonight. Lakers 5, Memphis, Dallas, and Sacramento are 6, 7, and 8.
Let's go through each of those teams very, very briefly. So Denver Nuggets, obviously, you know, everything they're doing hinges on Jokic and what he can do.
It's Mark Price, man.
Yeah,
Mark Price. He joined the roster.
Once he came on the Hoop Heads podcast, everything just took off over there in Denver.
No.
So I think the Nuggets, I mean, Jokic is, you know, he's a very unique player, and he gives them an opportunity to be very, very good because of his creative passing and the things that he does well. I think Denver's going to be there all year.
Golden State.
I got nothing to say.
I think they've kind of reached the point of they're bored.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't care. It's a regular season. They're going to be in the playoffs. They're bored, and quite frankly, they think we don't even need the one seed now. You know, they've had some issues and the whole Draymond Kevin Durant thing and all that stuff. So I think it's interesting a little bit, but you know, at this point I'm not getting caught up in the drama stuff.
They just have to be healthy. If they're healthy,
yep.
I think it's still a foregone conclusion that they, you know, they walk to the title.
Okay. Third, Oklahoma City.
Defense. Their defense has been really good.
And
if their defense continues to be good, which in theory it should be, you know, they're going to be in the top four, I would think.
Yep, I agree. And that was one thing that we talked about, was that they needed to figure it out on defense at the beginning of the year, and they've done it. Four is the Clippers. That right there, they are surprising the heck out of a lot of people.
Well, I think the Clippers is a case of the sum being greater, you know, or the whole being greater than the sum of the parts.
It's kind
of
like the Atlanta Hawks from a few years ago, when they were a good, no one was saying Jeff Teague is a great player, but I mean, he's a good player, but they were that team was just so good that
four. Right, it just fit together, right? Yeah. And I think the Clippers are the same way. They've got some guys that, you know, are hungry, that compete, that play hard, and you know, Tobias Harris is probably their best player at this point. And
yeah, Harrell's been
playing really well. And I mean, they just have a lot of nice pieces, and when you have a lot of nice pieces that play hard and compete, and you do that every single night in and night out, you're going to beat teams who maybe don't match that level of effort and intensity. It's a credit to Doc Rivers.
I was just going to say. I think in years past, Doc Rivers has gotten a lot of crap for how he's been underachieving as a coach. And some are going to say, I mean, if they continue at this pace, they're 17-10 now, and they're 12-6 in the conference, but they're 4-0 in their division. If they continue at this pace and they're in the top five in the West, he's got to be up for consideration for Coach of the Year.
I would agree.
Because I mean, that team, the beginning of the year, everyone was saying they were...
Yeah, I mean, there was nobody that was predicting the Clippers were going to make the playoffs.
12 to 13 seed in the West. Yeah, that's what they were saying.
There was nobody making that prediction. Doc's done a really good job. So, you got to give him credit for that.
Okay, so five is the Lakers, and...
I still think the Lakers... to me, I still think the Lakers, by the time these other teams kind of... the teams that are below them right now in the standings, as those teams kick it into gear, and again, maybe the Lakers still have another trade to make, and you know they'll have another guy in there that can help LeBron. But I still think that they're going to end up being, if they make the playoffs, they're going to end up as a 7 or 8 seed, and I still wouldn't be surprised if they end up outside the playoff picture.
You know what would be awesome? Would be a Clippers-Lakers first-round playoff series.
Clippers-Lakers would be fun.
That would be fun, because all the games are in one spot.
Yep.
And just to see it, I think that would be awesome. I don't know if they've ever played in the playoffs.
I can't think.
I mean,
of a time when they did, but that doesn't mean
because the Clippers have been abhorrent for years before they got good.
Correct.
So
and then the Lakers.
The last 2 years have been abhorrent.
Well, the Lakers were bad. You know, during the years when the Clippers were good with Lob City, the Lakers were nothing. So yeah. That would be pretty cool though.
Six is Memphis. Another surprise.
In Memphis, you could sum it up with one word: health. The health of Conley and Gasol. When those two guys are healthy over the course of their careers, Memphis has been good. And when one or both of them are hurt, Memphis has been terrible. And then Jaren Jackson's been a very good rookie that they've been able to add to the mix. So I think it comes down to the health. If those guys stay healthy, I would anticipate Memphis making the playoffs.
All right, so we got two more to round up the top eight, and then we'll just go through the rest of the standing. Dallas is 7, and like I said before, Doncic has been huge, and I find myself, obviously rooted for Dallas in 2011. I rooted for them hard for in 2011, but I find myself really rooting for Dallas right now because you got to think that Dirk's in. I don't know if he's going to have another year or whatnot, but he's probably in one of his last stands here.
You could probably wheel him out in a chair when he's 74 and let him shoot elbow jumpers. I mean, he's that good. And Luka's been really, really good. I haven't watched a full Dallas game, but
you've seen the memes. You see the one yesterday when he was doing this thing?
I've seen plenty of highlights, and I've heard the song. The song is very entertaining. If you haven't heard it, you want to get out there and
Google. I'll try to link it in the show notes.
Yeah, that'd be nice. So Hallelujah, that's a great song.
That's good.
But he's obviously had a huge impact, because the reality is their team isn't much different from what it was last year, and he's really the main addition. And Wesley Matthews, I guess, being a year further removed from his Achilles, he's been playing better. And DeAndre Jordan, I forgot about him. Yeah, he's been rebounding the ball. I like Luka, and I think that he's going to be a guy that's going to be really good for a long time. And he plays kind of a different style of game from your typical NBA star. And so I think that's always good for the game.
Yep, and then rounding out the top eight is Sacramento. And I think the tail of tape is they're definitely getting better. I like Jaeger a lot. I think he's a really, really good coach, and I think he got the shaft in Memphis, right? It was Memphis he was in, right? He got the complete blame for just the whatever drama was going on in Memphis. I think he got the blaming, and you could see that he's a good coach because he's taken the Sacramento team, which once again, no one predicted them to be even in the discussion. And once again, we're 27 games into this season. And the thing that I see here is they're 8-9 in the conference. So I think that's going to be the big thing, is they're feasting on the East right now, which is a good thing to do because that's what the West teams need to do in order to make the playoffs, I think. But they also have to win in their conference, and they're not right now.
Yeah, I mean, for me, with Sacramento, it comes down to, two guys. De'Aaron Fox has gotten a lot better, and Buddy Hield's been much better.
Did you watch any of the Sacramento Cavs game or no?
I did not.
Fox, that guy has to be the quickest guy in the NBA.
He's super fast. And the fact that he's a lefty, and again, he's still developing his shot, and I don't know that he's ever going to be a lights out great shooter, but I think he's going to get to the point where he strikes me as a guy that's working at his game, and he's going to get better to the point where he's going to be able to shoot 36, 37, 38% on threes. And when he can do that, combined with his ability to get to the rim and distribute the ball and defend, he's long and quick, and he's going to be good. And Buddy Hield is, I think, far better than what people maybe initially predicted in the in his rookie year. He's been far more productive. I will say, though, I would be stunned if Sacramento and Dallas are
playoff.
Our playoff teams.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
When you look at the
five of the next six teams, you've got Portland at 9, New Orleans at 10, San Antonio hanging around at 11, Utah at 12. They're playing okay now, but they were at a bit of a tailspin for a while there. Minnesota's at 13. I'm not quite sold on Minnesota. I think they're in big trouble. They can't win in the conference. They're 6-12. And then Houston at 14. They've actually probably jumped up now because they won tonight. But I just two of those teams are going to pass Dallas and Sacramento. I've got to imagine, right?
I would think. I mean, to me, I think the two teams are Utah and Houston, and then the third team is Portland. I think all three of those teams work their way into the playoffs, which is where I see that if the Lakers were to drop out, I would say that would be a possibility there. If, you know, I mean, we talked about the Clippers, and I think the Clippers still could potentially be in danger of dropping out. And I think Memphis always, you know, again, they're one injury away to one of those two guys who are very injury prone to dropping out. Well, and then I would say the Pelicans are the other team that could potentially sneak up in there. So
I think there's one team we can safely say is not going to make the playoffs.
The Phoenix Suns will not
be making
the
playoffs. They have lost 10 in a row.
Yeah, they're god awful.
Is James Jones going to have a job?
Well, they're trying to trade Trevor Ariza to the Lakers, is what I heard.
Well, and I think that would be if the Lakers. I think that would be smart, to be honest with you. I think it would be a good pickup for them. I think, Trevor Ariza has always been one person that guards LeBron really, really well. And I think having him on the floor with LeBron, and he can still make those threes in the corner and things like that. So I think, along with bringing veteran leadership, you know.
He's a cagey veteran.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think it's interesting. I think the DeAndre Ayton Rookie of the Year campaign has already ended because of the fact that they are 4-24.
I mean, he has good stats, but ultimately you got to try to win games.
You got to give it to it. I mean,
which is why Luka's been. Again, what Luka's done has been incredible because, again, Dallas's roster is, you know, it is what it is. Obviously, they added DeAndre Jordan too, but again, I think you got to attribute more of their rise to what Luka's been able to do.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else you want to add about the West? Or,
well, I just will say that in those bottom teams, I made two predictions in our preseason prediction. One was that Utah was going to be I think I said they were going to be second behind Golden State, so that prediction is not looking very good.
Nope.
And conversely, I said the Rockets weren't going to get a four seed, weren't going to be in the top four seeds, and I feel very good about that one.
Yeah, I think I feel good about that one, too. But I will say, you know, you look at this, and you say Utah's not going to be a two seed. They're only three games out of the two seed.
That opinion brought to you by Hall's Cough Drops. Sorry. Eucalyptus.
They're only three and a half games out of the two seed. So, I mean, it's still early and everything. And
because they're all bunched up, anything can happen. There's no question that everything is in flux. I mean, there's no way you can say, these teams are going to be the top four. These teams are gonna, I think you just kind of got to go with what your gut says. And, you know, we'll watch how it plays out. And, again, I think that six of those eight teams that, you know, we mentioned are probably going to end up staying in the playoff race, with the Lakers and Memphis probably being the other two most likely to drop out. Yep. And then, like I said, I think Utah and Houston will get in there, and then I'd say Portland and New Orleans are the two that, you know, may not.
All right. Well, I think we'll probably come back with another NBA podcast after the new year. I don't think we're going to do another one before then.
Maybe we can react to the Christmas game somewhere.
Somewhere in between. In between Christmas and New Year's, we'll do a little Christmas. I don't know how much I'm going to watch because the Cavs aren't playing, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll get some. We'll catch some games.
We'll talk some.
All right, so everyone out there, we appreciate you listening. Thanks for listening to this particular NBA episode, and we will catch you on our next one. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, brought to you by Head Start Basketball.